If you're taking notes, let's deal with the fivefold ministry gift operating in supernatural order. Let's also deal with, as a subtopic, leadership without compromise. The Apostle Paul dealt with a pastoral model that he was turning into an apostolic pastor. And I believe that where we are in the LTMA, we're going to have to modify every office by congealing every office together with proper rank and proper order to function as an apostolic church, in which I believe that the book of Acts and all the churches in Corinth, the various churches, were really apostolic churches, and they had the divine order of the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, and the evangelist. Because I think what have happened is the models have got mixed up, and everybody trying to do everything to a certain degree. And I don't think that's the way God planned for it to be done. And so as your leader and as your apostolic father and as your leader, I've been praying and studying various ways that we can enhance and advance our ministries, that we can produce what God wants us to produce. One of the things that I want to deal with is leadership without compromise. Let me read a few things to you until I get in the groove here to really get back what the Spirit told me to deal with. I wrote, brothers and sisters, we must be wise enough to accept our assignment according to the plan and purpose of God. Go back to Acts 20, 28, the apostle give the pastor instruction on how to take care of the flock. That's an apostle and a pastoral connection there. And you notice in the 32nd verse, he recommended to God's word, was able to keep me, told him people are going to rise up among them. But I just want to talk about here, you see throughout the scripture, the fivefold ministry gifts coming together in divine order. And there Paul give direction to the pastor at Ephesus. Also, when we go back to Ephesians chapter 4, during prayer time this morning, I saw something that I had not seen. In the 11th verse, it called the Ephesians 4:11. It called the fivefold ministry gift out in order. So there is a divine order there. The spiritual substance need to run through that order. But in reading that this morning in prayer time at my church, he says you've been looking on one side of that verse. He said, give some apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, and evangelist, he said, and then you go to the next verse and say, for the protection of the saints, work of the many, he says, but no, you got to look on the other side, because prior to the apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, and evangelist doing their work, they have to be harmonized. In other words, they have to be organized. If they are not organized, verse 12 is invalidated. You see, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. So I think what have happened over the years is the satanic division between the fivefold ministry gifts has not held in place. Therefore, the body suffered, because when you get down from that in Ephesians 4:11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 verses, we see a lot of things supposed to be happening to the body, and I think the body should be in an apostolic setting with apostolic believers, understand how apostolic government work. And I think we come up with a lot of organization, a lot of institution, a lot of substitution, a lot of individualism. And what it has done is caused us not to be in the power of coordination and victory and harmony and peace and provision-wise as we should be. So as your leader, my aim is to try to get us back into the flow so we can have the fivefold ministry gift ready. Then we'll be able to get our various bodies ready, you pastors, and then you evangelists will know your part, teachers will know your part, not just getting an assignment to preach. There's a getting yourself ready that you are able to do what the Lord wants you to do properly. This thought came to me, or this insight came to me. I just read, brother and sister, we must be wise enough to accept our assignment according to the plan and purpose of God. And that plan and purpose of God cannot stop with the church. It has to stop among us, being in harmony, understanding why we're together, treating each other properly, and getting each other prepared to do what we need to do. There's a form of rape, R-A-P-E, and I got in prayer, you can't rape and reap. And I think what happened, there's a raping that's taken place over the years, and I'm talking about probably hundreds of years, in all the denomination, all the culture stuff coming up, all the modernism coming up, it sort of raped us from our job in doing the fivefold ministry gift, the fivefold ministry as we should. So you can't rape and reap. We must repair and restore. So as an apostle of Jesus Christ, I call this body, the LTMA, to divine order. Now listen, how not to live under ministerial strain and frustration. I think when the coordination, the operation, the decent and order plan come down from me through the 12 down to the rest of the body, I think we will work together in harmony and want to improve. We got a new year right before, standing right before us in our phase. I thought I was going to give the word for the new year today, but I'm not going to give it. I'll give it at a later time. But this ministerial strain and frustration, for instance, I heard in the roll call, doctor appointment. We just had ministers die, more than one. I think what we have taken the notion that we can pray and lay hand and go about our business. I believe in miracle signs and wonders, but I also believe you have to be brought back to the fact that you've got to take care of yourself. And that's all to it. And most lay person don't want to face it, and ministers seem to be sometimes dumb enough that they won't face it. But you have to take care of your health, and you have to take care of yourself. And I'm going to give you this book. You read it what you want. If you don't want to read it, don't read it. But I know I say it to my congregation. I say it to my family. You show me someone who died ahead of time and did not fulfill the number of their days, and I'll show you somebody immoral or somebody I'd like to check their meals out. So here this book is, Eat to Live, Joseph Foreman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N, Joseph Foreman, Eat to Live. You know how many people you've laid hand on and got well? All of them. But they go back to that same habit. God's word is not a lie. God's word is true. So we got to get this strand and frustration off ministry. The Bible says, Apostle Paul was talking about gifts of the Spirit and various ministerial aspects, and he said these few words you're all going to know. Let everything be done decent and in order. is an apostolic command. He made that command when he talked to the church of Corinth about the different gifts of the Spirit, the different ways they function. And that's where we are now. We're not so much of who the best, who popular. We just want to get this thing down right that we all can function in the vein God wants to function. Now, this order that is very seldom seen in ministry because of lack of apostolic fathers is very important. And the Lord is having us touching that area now. We're growing together in this area. But in Isaiah 55:4, it was revealed to me and showed to me steps and stages of being a witness, then a leader, then a commander. I think training is so important. I think breaking down what we have, what we think we have, when necessary to break it down. I had to do a lot of breaking down in my training, still do breaking down. When I come up on someone who's teaching me something, I'm willing to learn. I'm a student and break it down. And it has worked immensely in my ministry. Strain-free and very little frustration because I understand how it goes. Two verses will help all frustration and all strain. And in Genesis 28:15, and you have to read it in the Message Bible. Catch up Genesis 28:15 and Isaiah 41:10. Read in the Message Bible. And then Joshua 1:9, also read in the Message Bible. These are all about leadership. Encouragement. One who was Jacob. We had that experience with Jacob ladder. In Genesis 28:15, he said, "Yes, I'll stay with you. I'll protect you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this very ground. I'll stick with you until I've done everything I promised you." Now you need to look at that, meditate that, and then. The other scripture is Genesis 28:15, Isaiah 41:10 in the Message Bible. These are just encouragement, and memorize them in the King James Version, because you see a whole lot in the King James Version. But here it says, "Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. Keep a firm grip on you." Then the Joshua 1:9, you can read that one. But all I'm saying is when we get these orders and ranks straight, I think we'll have more production, more peace, and more power. Now, just take these words and write it down and rape versus reality. I think if we don't get further than rhetoric, further than emotion, and step off in the realities of our relationships as well as our assignment, I think that we will be held back just like everybody else. But actually, I believe at large. I know you all have some success, but at large, I think the body. The fivefold ministry gift has been raped, and so I'm aiming to yield to the Spirit that we can get back in place. Spiritual laws, revelation laws, relationship laws. Now, you have the answer of Joseph, David, Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, Abraham, Ruth, Esther. I can go on and on and on. So Daniel's answer was he wasn't going to defile himself. I think it's Daniel 1:8. He refused to defile himself with what the world was offering. Joseph gave an answer to that woman, but Lord knows how he left it when she tried to get him and she tried to rape him. When she tried to get him to steer from his calling, he told her, no, how much his master had done for him, and he had put everything but her in his hand. But then he made this statement, I can't do this against God. That's powerful. So morality, spirituality, functionality, being fruitful will not be available unless what we are doing now, walking in love, walking by faith, learning delegated authority, yielding, submitting, correcting, et cetera, et cetera. This is what we're going to have to do. But you know, like I said with David, when David faced Goliath, he faced Goliath in the name of the Lord. The Hebrew boy did the same thing. Confession that Ruth made to follow Naomi was a powerful deal there in the first chapter of Ruth. Then Esther made a powerful statement in her lifetime ministry. So here's what the Lord said to me in prayer this morning. It's not how it looks. It's what you say it is. So no matter how things look now in your ministry, it's what you say it is. It's sort of like the promise, faith and grace meeting together in the Abrahamic experience with him and Sarah having a child in Romans chapter 4. See, it's not how it looks. It's what you say it is. And then I heard these words, put that in the air, smoke that in the spirit. In other words, apostolically and prophetically, I want you to stop saying what you see and start saying what you want it to be. It's very, 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 very strong there. Then he says, put that in the air, smoke that in the spirit, and get high in the spirit and be free of worry and fear. Then he says this to me, all monsters in your ministry will be dealt with, and all major benefits are about to change in your favor. And then you got Joshua 1:5. Now, just for a few moments, one of my classroom settings, and I got to catch myself because I do so much studying, I change so much, and I read so much and pray so much until I get revelation. But there's something that I got to labor in on this apostolic thing. And one of the things I ran across in one of my studies is the forgotten model of ministry. And that's talking about the apostolic ministry. And then it talks about, as I share with my class, there will be a rise of spiritual master builders, revolutionaries, and reformers that will restore the forgotten model of apostolic ministry. In other words, when the pastor become apostolic, when the teacher become apostolic, when the evangelist become apostolic, we're ready to go. The prophet become apostolic, because that's the way God said it. And then it says the kingdom of God has a government under the leadership of Christ Jesus, is the king of the kingdom and the father and apostle of the church. So this government, I talked to you about it before, but if we don't get that Ephesians 4:11 in place, this government is suffering. So we got to be in alignment in order to bring the laity in alignment. We got to be in love with one another, in love with Jesus, in fellowship, respect. And I think we're doing that. I would like for y'all to travel more. I'd like for y'all to get out more. I'd like for y'all to all respect the tier meeting. So it's so important. I know you can get there if you want to get there. So think about that and do a better job than that. But we're sent with governing authority. But we can't govern if we're not governed. So it talks about here as this new apostolic revolution pick up steam, we will witness his governing church and kingdom believers engage the culture around him. Now, this is something. We have to train people as apostolic believer to engage the culture around him. The culture is going out of his mind. Moralization going out of his mind. For instance, it talks about the emerging church. That's where a bunch of young people getting together with young leaders who have no authority, no apostle, no training, but they got thousands and thousands out there, and it's just like seeker sensitive. Seeker sensitive is plainly dead. People seeking to serve God the way they want to. They don't want no doctrine. They don't want no structure. As you know, we here at LTMA, we believe in structure. But that's what comes. That's the kind of culture. That's the kind of secularization coming on the scene now. And at the same time, we're going to build strong, organized, decent, and order ministry. God said the gate of hell should not prevail against my church. So we just got to have it in divine order, that we're functioning in the order we should function in, together, having each other back, receiving like we're doing now. Very few organizations can have this type of participant and type of respect. But I think we have an expectancy. I think we'll form around and, you know, look like you're not saying nothing, like you're not doing nothing. But I think in the spirit, there are some things that we are accomplishing. The apostolic church will have spiritual power and authority. I talked about it. I talked about the church is the only seat of authority, the body sanctioned to advance God's principle, moral laws, and his word throughout the earth. So here is governing factor before us. Of being able to relate to those pastors who listen to me now. The pastors cannot pastor, be a real pastor without an apostolic connection. I know because, you see, God, you to call a man or woman who have a lot of experience. I pastored many years and didn't have no apostolic connection, didn't know what an apostolic connection was. Even though I made some success because of my diligence, but I knew I could have done a whole lot more if I was in a position that we are in today. I have great expectation for us, and I'm still studying and looking and searching to bring us to a greater element of understanding the apostolic. So I'm not saying that's about all I'm going to say today. I just want to get that on your section. I'll give out the New Year word probably on New Year's Eve night when I minister. I'm going to have served at my church. I wasn't going to have none, but like through prayer, I got it. So I'm having 10:30 Monday night of New Year's Eve. And then I'm going back. You know, I went out to the city churches, different state years ago. I used to have service on Christmas, every Christmas. I don't care if it fall on, what day it fell on. I got kind of modernized there, but then I was praying, and God told me to go ahead and have service on Tuesday. On Christmas Day, I'm going to have service at 10 o'clock. God didn't book the message. I lost the tablet. I got to find the tablet where it is, but I got the message, and I got some notes. I finally found the tablet. I might have told you the word if I found the tablet, but I didn't find the tablet, so maybe I wasn't supposed to tell you the word. You got one fellow on that phone, know the word, but he kept poking me, and I give it to him, but the rest of y'all will get it when the rest of y'all get it. Stay faithful. Don't be afraid. The evangelist that's on the line, most evangelists worry about preaching engagement. When you get in alignment, God's going to align that for you. Those that believe you're standing in a prophet office and an apostle office, you need to move real slowly and just wait, because I have a different point of view than the average office in ministry. All of my office, I was called by God himself to stand in those office. The pastor as an apostle. Both times God spoke to me. So it's not nobody else speaking to you, telling you how anointed you are. I believe God got his hand on you. To stand in these office without danger, the Lord himself will have to say, I've appointed you for this office. That's very important to me, and that's very important to you. So over the holidays, stay the same. Give God the glory and praise. And I would like for you to look into your health. I would like for you to look into assisting yourself by having health knowledge. Health knowledge is so important to enable the Lord to fulfill the number of your days. Be able to go to the end of your journey if Jesus doesn't come back before, still in the pulpit, still preaching the gospel at whatever age you live to be. That's my desire, my hope for each one of you. So God bless you, and I'll see you on the next session.
Thank you, Apostle. Just a few announcements that I want to, or dates rather, that I want to remind you of. The LTMA Importation Conference will be January 8th through the 11th, 2019. The sessions will be 10:30 and 7 p.m. On the 8th, that Tuesday, it will only be a night session. So the conference will actually begin January 8th at 7 p.m. and it continued to Friday the 11th. Last session will be 7 p.m. that night. Don't forget about your various circle calls. Also, I'll be putting out the itinerary for Apostle within the next couple of days. You'll get it by email, specifically through the GroupMe and by email. So be looking out for that. For the Supernatural Money Coming to You conferences across the country.
Junior.
Being on the call. Yes, sir.
Junior, don't forget Sister Annette now. Don't forget to make the announcement for Sister Annette.
Yes, sir.
She has,
no problem, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
She's on the Reverend J. Yes, sir.
Right.
Reverend J. Harry Simeon, who is a member of LTMA, went home to be with the Lord yesterday, and so I want you to be in prayer with his wife Annette, and as soon as information I get the information about service time, I will let those of you all elder members that are know that are in the Lafayette, Louisiana, New Iberia area, so we can surround her with our love.
You know how old he was, Leroy?
No, sir, I sure don't. I think Carlos told me he was 80.
Carlos on the line?
No, sir, he's not.
He's not. Okay, all right. Why he not?
He was in a class.
What kind of class?
I have no idea, sir.
All right. Find out.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Yes, sir. Don't forget about your various circle calls with your MVB. I'm going to go through the MVB names of the MVBs one more time. When you hear your MVB's name, if you did not answer roll call, get a chance to answer roll call, this will be the time to do it.